Hello, it's Michael Corcoran here, and welcome to the Breakdown, the RTE Rugby Podcast. Today we're at the launch of European rugby season for 2016-2017. The former English international Simon Holliday is the chairman of the EPCR, who are based in Switzerland. Simon, it's a pretty exciting season ahead for everybody.
I think that's right. When you look back and the new organisation's been in place for a year or so, I guess, in many different ways. But here we are, there's no World Cup, no distractions, I think the players are fresh, the pools are incredibly tough. Successful finals last year in Lyon, and looking forward to Edinburgh, where we're going to put a lot of people into the stadium for another great set of finals. So, you know, we're very positive about it, and I think, you know, there's some terrific matches in prospect which should excite everybody.
Did you see last year as a learning experience, and you're kind of older and wiser this year?
There's no doubt. I think when you have a change of management, a change of location, change of team, change of structure, I mean, there was kind of nothing that was the same. And so we had to build and get the tournaments done effectively, understanding that there was plenty of challenge ahead. And I think when we look back at that year, we fulfilled everything that we wanted to. It wasn't easy, and there were a lot of skeptics wondering whether it was going to be successful or not. There's still a huge amount to build on, as we've already said, but I think we feel very much on the front foot, and that's important. And coming to such an iconic rugby city as Dublin, and I was spent time with the Irish provinces a couple of weeks ago only, and they're all incredibly motivated to do well this year. They're not looking at anything else than their own performances, and they know they're going to have to be at their best, as will every other club and province, because it's a very powerful competition.
It's a competition that brings out the best in everybody, regardless of where you're from.
I think it has to, and I think if you're subpar, whatever, Challenge or Champion Cup, then you're going to struggle. And everyone's alluded to the importance of winning your opening game, so if you're away from home, it's a real challenge. If you're at home, then you can get a good start and lay down a marker. But there's no margin for error. And I think I said earlier that past success and that record isn't necessarily good enough going forward, because everybody is getting better. The standard's going up everywhere.
And the important thing is that, as of now, everybody has bought into this. I mean, you've got everybody on your side, everybody willing you to do well and to do better.
Listen, I think we've tried to meet every challenge, and we've tried to be very constructive, and we've tried to listen to people. You know, we're not out here saying we know all the answers. We acknowledge some of the shortcomings that there have been. We weren't happy to see gaps in the semi-finals in seats. We only had 2 weeks to prepare for a semi-final. There are new teams whose supporter bases are less experienced, and we're putting in place lots of ticketing strategies to provide for every eventuality. But you know, the thing we need to remember is that this tournament's going to grow and get stronger. And whatever the global season looks like, the European tournaments will be right at the centre of it. And I think everyone should want a part of that, and we will try and make that happen.
Ireland has a love affair with European rugby, which began all of 22 years ago. There was certainly heartbreak on many occasions, but it was Ulster who first tasted European success at Lansdowne Road in 1999.
Who's the target? It's going to be Gary Longwell. He goes high, gathers, gives it to Matchett. Matchett going left, gives it to Humphreys. Humphreys darts, gives it to Jonathan Bell on the short burst. Bell goes to ground. The Ulster forwards are there. Matchett gives it right. And a little chip through from Humphreys is taken very well by the defence. Kicked out there by Lander, but the referee blows his whistle. It's a penalty for offside against Columbia, and a chance for Ulster perhaps to level the scores. And he's just outside the 22, comes up now, right footed, kicks it high, it's going straight through the post, it's over the bar as well, and it's 3 points for Ulster. The sides are level after just 9 minutes of play. Ulster 3, Columbia 3. A fine kick, and that brings Simon Mason's total to 129 points in European competition. So it's a scrum to Columbia on their own 22. Fabien Galthier, their international scrum half, 23 calf. It's won against the head by Clark, and it comes to Matchett inside the 22. He's looking for support. He gets the ball onto the ground. Ulster have it. Mark Blair is trying to pick it out. That's number four, Mark Blair, barging through. Stopped by Payson, onto the post. Good work by Ulster. They're waiting to get the ball back quickly. It comes to Matchett. Now to Humphreys. Humphreys gives it inside. The referee waiting for advantage to Ulster. It might be a penalty. It will be a penalty. And for offside against Colombier, right under the posts. And that was great work by Ulster. And fullback Simon Mason will try to put Ulster in front. He's almost in front of the post. He comes up, right footed, hits it high. The crowd cheer, the flags go up, and Ulster lead after just 14 minutes of the game, 6-3.
You know, it's always nice on a personal note to kick your goals. And, you know, I have been kicking well all season. And my main concern really was obviously not to let anyone down on the day, because, you know, the weight of expectation was certainly on my shoulders as well as everyone else's. And being place kicker, it, you know, you feel that pressure a lot. But you know, once the first couple of penalties went over, I sort of, you know, really took the occasion in and enjoyed it. And, you know, I felt we were always, especially once we got into the lead, I felt we were always a hard team to beat. And, you know, it's proved that, you know, if you play with passion and pride and with a crowd like that behind you, you can certainly go on and, you know, and achieve the honours.
Ball one on the Ulster side from the line out. They drive forward to the 10-metre line inside the Columbia half. Back to Humphreys. Another huge kick to Tess Sadeny inside his 22. McDowell underneath it brings off the tackle as the ball went to ground. It'll be a scrum to Ulster if they don't win possession. They're inside the 22. They have possession. The referee waits. The ball coming back rather slowly, and it's driven through, but the Ulster forwards go for the posts. Now it's Mark Blair in possession. Underneath the post, the forwards gather around him. It comes to Matchett. Matchett gives it outside, and it's Tony McWhirter who has it, but he's isolated, and the ball is back once more. Now it comes to Humphreys, a drop of goal perhaps, on the 22-metre line. It's high, it's over, and Ulster have stretched the lead. And a beautiful drop goal by David Humphreys, as he has done in the earlier matches, stretches the lead.
Oh, it's an amazing achievement for the whole team to have finally won the European Cup. I think probably it was only this, now that we've won, that we can sit back and enjoy it. It's been amazing 2 or 3 weeks since the semi-final, and just the build-up to the game. I think we were all a bit concerned that perhaps today we wouldn't perform, but the crowd were magnificent, the players were magnificent, and in the end we got the victory we were looking for.
Sadeny picks up close to the touchline. He's forced across the touchline on the 22. Sheldon Coulter does well. Good tackle by Coulter coming up on the fullback. And one would have to say that Jean-Luc Sadeny, the French fullback playing and captaining Colombier, is really not quite at his best. He hasn't been picked to play for France because he's only back from injury, and he's showing the rustiness of a player who hasn't been in the game at top level for some while. But it's an Ulster throw on the Columbia 22. Mark Blair gathers the line out, a penalty in the line out for tackling the player in the air, and it's another chance for Ulster to go in front. And David Humphreys says, we're going to have another shot at goal. We're in this game to win it, not to play attractive football. And Simon Mason takes those 2-3 steps to his left, then turns, and now he's standing almost side on to the posts, has a look at the posts, one step back, then he comes forward, strikes it very comfortably. The crowd cheer, the flags go up. It's 21-6. Ulster are on the high road to European Cup victory.
There was no man in the match out there. There was you know, it was a team performance, and you know, it just shows that the crowd and everything at the end, and the players, guys crying. It's just a very emotional moment, and it's, you know, delighted for everyone involved, the team, the squad, the management. I mean, Mark McCall's been fantastic. I just keep naming him out. He's been fantastic the whole way through. Harry Williams has been brilliant.
The ball is back on the French side. Carré carried it on. He knocked it forward, though. It'll be a scrum to Ulster, but it's not going to happen. The final whistle is blown. Ulster are European champions.
Oh, by far the proudest moment, certainly the most successful moment of my career, and words fail me at the moment. I'm just, the emotions are jumping around here, and I'm not quite sure what I'm saying or what I'm doing. I was reasonably happy with 10 minutes to go, but the last 10 minutes and the wee bit of injury time just crawled and crawled and crawled. Every minute seemed a lifetime.
Are you surprised the way it's caught the imagination of the whole country?
Yeah, when we started out, we wanted to get involved with the community, not in any fancy political or religious way. We just wanted to spread the gospel of rugby, and we've far exceeded our own expectations. We have 49,000 people there. What a day.
Fred Cogley describing the historic scenes there with David Humphreys, and you also heard from the Ulster coach, Harry Williams. Away from Europe, the Guinness Pro 12 ramps up a notch this weekend with 6 local derbies. Connacht in action against Ulster at the Sports Ground on Friday night. It's Leinster and Munster at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Martin Anii is managing director of Pro 12 Rugby, and he understands the significance of this weekend.
Yeah, it was something we picked up from last year. The big derby games were key selling points for us. You know, fans turning up in their masses, the media getting excited about it. You know, Leinster, Munster at the Aviva Stadium and selling over 40,000 tickets. So we decided to make more of it, you know, play to our strengths, and we created the big weekends this year, six of them, starting this weekend, and sort of placed throughout the season strategically to make sure that we can get our fans, you know, picking the key games and building to European weekends, building for Six Nations, and then culminating in Super Saturday, you know, where I think, you know, no matter what's on the line in terms of the league position, you've got everything to play for because you're playing your rival, you know. So it was part and parcel, part marketing and part just because it made sense.
And it certainly brings the intensity that's required, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, guys are talking today here at the EPCR launch about a sense of intensity that you get from a Champions Cup game being akin to a, you know, test match. And I think actually our big weekends, that'll be a test match environment for them. They'll lift themselves up for those games just as much as they do for the big Champions Cup games or test match rugby.
Five or six games gone, five I think gone at this stage. More people watching, more people listening, more people turning up to watch games.
Yeah, we're excited about that. You know, viewership's up by a really good amount, 22.5%. Attendance is up, like-for-like games, 6.5%. That's great. So that's not just because of World Cup. You know, it's like-for-like. That could be games across the season. But the cool stats that we like, you know, there's more attractive rugby being played. There's more tries, 12 more tries this season than last time. You know, that's five tries on average per weekend, per game, sorry. So yeah, we like those kind of stats because that shows us in good light. It plays to the fact that there's attractive rugby being played in the Guinness Pro 12.
If you were in neutral and you had a golden ticket this weekend, it's kind of hard to pick out a match to go to.
Oh yeah, gosh. So it's hard. And you can see that from the guys in the office. You know, which games do we go to? And everyone's split, which is right. That's the right way about it. I mean, there's six big games this weekend. But I think the big one this weekend has to be the one with the biggest capacity. I'll go with that at the Aviva Stadium. You got Leinster, Munster, and you know, speaking to the guys here, you know, Easton Athewa and Omani, and you think actually this is going to be an absolute cracker. Top of the table, one versus two. Two versus three. Let me correct myself. Speaking out of turn there about Ulster. Apologies. It's just going to be an awesome weekend. So yeah, very hard to pick a game, but if we were, probably go for that one.
The nice build-up, if I can call it that, into Europe continues or even steps up a notch with the Pro 12 local derbies this weekend. Ulster and Connacht in action in the sports grounds, and the Ulster director of rugby, Les Kiss, is sitting here with me. It certainly concentrates your mind, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. It concentrates it more because of where Connacht are at the moment. I'm not saying they're desperate, but they are in a position where they have to do everything, throw everything to get the win. And for us, we just got to make sure we stay above the line in terms of what we've got to deliver because they're a dangerous side. You know, we got them twice last year, but the game in the sports ground last year was very tight. We got to try late to take the game out from them and win it. But we are under no illusions how tough it's going to be. If a team's got John Muldoon in it, for a start, to me, I've got absolute massive respect from that point alone, and he's a talisman for him. And whenever he's around in a team, I think you just got to keep your guard up.
Pat Lam has already spoken to me and said that the only game that they lost at home last year was over the Christmas against a team coached by you.
Yes, I read the comments, and you know, I can only imagine that this would be something that he'd love to get. And rightly so. That's what it's about, these little milestones that you like to gain throughout any progress of coaching with a team, and that's probably one that they're desperately after. And they should build it, you know, to a point of warfare in a way. But look, understanding that and then being able to go down there and still put the performance and the physicality that you need into the game is our challenge. We've got to come up with the right approach, the right attitude in terms of matching what intensity they're going to bring. You look at their game, that can be dangerous. We've got to manage the not only the breakdown area, but the way they can get the ball around the park. So we've got to be smart with how we work the game with and without the ball. You know, you don't know what the weather's going to bring, but it looks like it's pointing to good weather. Just talking to Pat and John earlier, it looks like it's going to be a good day. So I think both teams will prefer that, and that'll make it even more interesting. But we're under no illusions. You know, it's going to be tough.
Now, you know what good weather in Galway means on match day, don't you? I mean, that means it's rather testing. Is it important that you adapt to the conditions as well, because it's probably the one ground or one of the few grounds in the competition where the conditions can absolutely influence the outcome of a game?
Yeah, it makes a massive difference when the conditions go to a certain level, and they do hold the upper hand when it does get to that point. You know, I think against Glasgow a couple of weeks ago, it got a bit dusty, the conditions, and I thought it was a challenge for our guys in those conditions to still have the discipline and the focus and concentration to you know, maintain good possession, cover the kick and corners well, and I thought we did that reasonably well and got the win. You know, it's going to be another one if it turns that way this weekend, but, you know, whether it's fine, whether it's bad, I do think the intensity that they're going to bring to it, it's going to be something we have to match first and foremost.
With John Muldoon, is there a different intensity this week? You know, because it's a local derby, we'll talk about your form in a while, but look, because the fact that it's one of your, another fellow Irish team coming to Galway to take you on your own patch.
Yeah, local derbies are very special. They always are. I suppose you get a chance and... you get a chance to play against the people maybe that are holding those Irish jerseys, or I suppose friends of ours that we know and we've grown up with and we've played against for years, and we all know the local rivalry beats anything else, and it's no different. Ulster are probably at the moment the form team in the league as well, so that adds a bit of spice to it as well, and they've recruited extremely well. They've got some exceptionally good players mixed in with the household names that have been involved in Irish rugby for years, so it promises to be a big occasion. I think from our point of view, we were disappointed with the start of our season, but we're starting to hit a little bit of form now, and we're looking a lot more potent than we had in early in the year. So look, it's it promises to be a good game, and we're looking forward to the challenge. We were very disappointed last season. The only game we lost at home last season was to Ulster, and who rolls in this week on the Ulster, so it's good. It's a good challenge for us. As I said, they are the form team, so yeah, we're looking forward to it.
And how difficult or otherwise has the last number of weeks been? Because, you know, you go through, you train, you go through your processes, you play your matches, results haven't come your way, but you could feel maybe an energy there within the team, a growing confidence within the team after the first try last Friday night.
Yeah, I think obviously we're disappointed with the start of the season. We've worked hard, we've trained hard, and you come out and it just doesn't click for whatever reason on the pitch. And we trained hard, and everything everything's monitored these times, and you have GPS scores, and there's no different from how hard you trained this time last year and this year. So you're wondering what's going wrong, and you can't just put your finger on it. And a few things just go wrong, and you get a little bit disappointed. And it was tough to take the first couple of weeks. We had obviously high expectations, and we wanted to push things on and improve and get better. And we knew that we had to improve and get better, because every team around us would be trying to beat us, and every team, there wouldn't be that shock factor this season. But thankfully, we've got better every game, and we've improved every game, and that intensity has got better and better every game. And I think we saw that on Friday night against Edinburgh. It was a lot better from the beginning, and I think we had a couple of aspects in the weeks before that were good, and each week we added something else to our game. So the first week our defence was poor, the second week it improved, the third week it was even better, and I think it was better again on Friday night, and same with our attack each day. It's got better and better, so yeah, we'll be hoping that we can improve again this weekend and come out a little bit better again and sharpen up on one or two things. Ultimately, we will have to get better, and we will have to play probably our best performance of the year. But I think we set ourselves up nicely to do that, and sometimes you've got to go through a bit of hardship to get there, and we know that playing badly at the start of the season is not too bad. It gives us an opportunity. It's better off playing badly now than playing bad at the end of the season.
And just before I let you go, just a final question. If we fast forward to Friday night, and a few minutes before kickoff, and James Heaslip says Connacht, led by their captain John Muldoon, when you're walking from the changing room across the little roadway into the tunnel through the Clan Terrace, I mean, what's going through your head as you're walking to the pitch there, leading 14 little fellas behind you?
Yeah, I think I've done it so many times now. It comes natural, but I think the older you get, the more appreciated you get as well of those special nights and those big nights. And I think it can be very the sport we're in, and it can be a very centred and self-centred environment, and you kind of forget who's around you, and the people that come to see you, and the fans that drive for hours in a car to come and see you, and the young fellas that want to grow up and be. And I think sometimes when you're younger, you forget about all those things, and I think the older you get, and certainly the closer you get to it all finishing up, like I am, you tend to appreciate things even more. And as I'm walking out, I think the days where I don't take stuff in are gone. I think you've got to enjoy and live those moments, because you know that they can finish very quickly. And yes, I've had a lot of them, but I think the more I go out and the more I walk out underneath that tunnel, the more and more I'm appreciating it. And I suppose when you get a little bit older and you can sense that that bucket being kicked, you can appreciate those things, and you can give yourself maybe that minute or 30 seconds to appreciate those things and enjoy them. And it's certainly something that I love doing, but something that I know is going to come to an end soon. And I think that's the thing, once you realise some of those things, that you appreciate them even more and you enjoy them. And I usually kind of have a little bit of dialogue with the mascot, because they're probably more nervous than the majority of us. But yeah, look, I take confidence in the fact that I've done my work during the week, and I suppose the peacock comes out and you're ready to go, aren't you?
A great insight there into the mind of the Connacht captain, John Muldoon, who will hope for a different result on this occasion.
Luke Marshall is hauled to the ground under the post, and it's Ulster who maintain possession, and they have got in for the try and touched it down. The initial drive forward there by Luke Marshall, and the rest of the Ulster players piled in to try and help him out. Impossible to see who actually got that try, but it looks as if Nick Williams may very well have got a hand towards the very end of it, because Luke Marshall came forward there, seemed to be stopped short, and then Nick Williams is the man who's got up off the ground with the ball in hand. So he may very well be the player, as that good work there by Luke Marshall initially stopped short of the line, and Ulster piled in to gather that one. And in fact, it is Nick Williams who has barged his way over, and he scored a massively valuable try for Ulster straight under the post. And here comes Paddy Jackson with the conversion.
That's a crucial try for Ulster, and it's a pity for Connacht. But Nick Williams did very well from the base of the scrum to get up and get that ball over the line.
A crowd in excess of 40,000 expected at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday afternoon for Leinster against Munster. The last seven meetings between the sides at this venue have resulted in 6 wins for Leinster and 1 for Munster. Here's the Leinster coach, Leo Cullen.
The players, I think everyone in the organisation loves these occasions. When we go down to the Aviva, I just think they're great occasions. There's been so many good ones over the years where two teams are going at a full metal jacket, really, you know, and it's there's nothing held back, you know. I think they're great spectacles. I think what's made the games even greater is the fact that, you know, the supporters, the way they get behind it as well. So yeah, like the supporters for me in many ways make the occasions. You know, the players are the ones slogging out in the field, but the supporters are the ones that create the atmosphere and the sense of occasion. So hopefully we'll have another great occasion. You know, guys are preparing well. You know, we've sort of feel we're slowly building, you know, in a positive direction. You know, guys were out for a camp early in the week, but they've come back in and refreshed and energized, and they're ready to go again. And it's certainly focused the mind, but yeah, like we're, you know, really looking forward to another day in the Aviva.
Is there a mental switch that fellas have to flick? You know, they're all mates at the start of the week, the end of the week, they're not mates for 80, maybe 90 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they were like in camp together. So knowing, I don't know, that is obviously there's the computers out there and probably looking at each other's games, no doubt, as well. So they know each other inside out, and that's what, you know, probably something pretty unique about the games when you spend that much time together away in camp and then you're coming back together to play against each other. It's an unusual situation, but all the players know what's at stake. You know, there's you know, with the November internationals coming up, you know, Ireland have two games against the All Blacks, game against Australia, and even the game against Canada, where I'm sure there'll be some other players used as well. So like there's plenty at stake for the players. They're well aware. There's some great rivalries that have developed there over the years as well, and that certainly drives the sense of the occasion.
And do you feel that you're building and a sort of a work in progress? You know, if you even go back just a couple of weeks at the Ospreys game, particularly the first half of that, look at the manner of your victory against Cardiff last week. I mean, you're sort of on an upward curve.
Yeah, I think we're making progress. You know, there's always a challenge at the start of the season for the Irish provinces. You know, when you've X amount of guys going away on tour, they get managed back, they don't play in the pre-season games. So there's always a bit of a challenge trying to get those guys up to speed. And, you know, they can look a little bit, disjointed in some of those early season games. And that's, you know, a trend that's happened over the last number of years, you know, because there's nothing has really changed there. So it can be difficult, even if you're a experienced international player coming back in to play your first game of the season, but it might be round three or four, coming up against guys, you know, that have been playing for the previous 3, 4, 5 weeks, you know, over the course of pre-season as well. So yeah, there can be some challenges there, but yeah, we're slowly but surely reintegrating guys back into the team. Still a couple of guys come back from injuries as well, so you know, we'll see how they progress as the week goes on. But yeah, I feel we're making good progress. But you know, this game is just so unique, really. You know, like form, you know, the cliche, form really does go out the window, because you've got two sets of players that literally will, you know, do everything on the day to make sure they get a positive result. So it's yeah, no, there's something always a bit special about them.
And just a final word is about Stuart Lancaster. You've been working alongside him for the last number of weeks. I mean, how have you found that as an experience? And you know, obviously, you feel that you're in a better place in terms of everybody's learning from each other.
Yeah, definitely. You know, having someone like Stuart coming in with just a level of experience that he's had at the highest level of the game. So, you know, the experience that he's built up. You know, like in not just, you know, there was a role from a defensive point of view that needed to be filled as soon as possible, but there's other areas where Stuart can add greatly to the coaching team. You know, dealing with the players in terms of some of his experiences at the top level of the game. You know, he would have coached against some of our players, so you know, it's a really good, I suppose, resource to have for our group, because you know, he's trying to pick apart their weaknesses as an opposition coach. So now he's actually coaching with them. So yeah, there's definitely some really good learnings from the players. And even just as an organisation as well. So there's a huge amount of areas that Stuart's been able to add to. So it's been great to have him on board, and you know, he really had to hit the ground running because of the nature of, I suppose, his arrival. But yeah, it's a work in progress, like all coaching, really.
Razzy, there's a smile come across your face when I even mention the game without even the opposition. Local derby matches are games, regardless of where they're played in the world. They take on just a life of their own, not just to the players, but indeed to the supporters as well.
And it's great. That's the way it should be. My only experience as far, we would have been in South Africa playing Super Rugby against local teams and Currie Cup against local teams. But I quickly realised on some Saturday evening after the last game that this is as big and bigger, yeah. So wonderful to be part of. Wonderful that it is like that, and that we're playing at the venue we're playing. Just a hell of an exciting time for me. Listen, I know we're up against it, and I know it will be tough to win there, but if you don't enjoy these moments, you know, they shouldn't be in coaching and playing. It's wonderful to be part of it.
And already Leinster are talking Munster up, saying that they're second on the table, they're ahead of Leinster. The table doesn't lie.
Well, maybe after round five, the table lies, you know. We haven't played everybody, haven't played one round against everybody, so you can't look at the table. But listen, if we're underdogs or favourites, we've got a plan that we have to play between those four lines against 15 players, 23 players on the other side as well, coach. And if we execute that plan, and it doesn't matter who's before the game or after the game, you know, after the game, we'll see who was the better team. So we know how good they are and we know how tough it will be.
And how do you see where you are right now, you know, over the last couple of weeks? It's maybe been, I don't want to say frustrating, but you've had some good wins, but maybe not as consistent as you wanted it to be.
Yeah, you're spot on. We haven't been consistent. And then, like the other teams, I think, you know, it's this first four games, getting your international players back, having a few injuries and everybody not being match fit. I think it was good to get a proper win on our belt last weekend. We always knew when the business time of the competition starts now. And the aim was to get as much of the guys match fit for these games. But it has been frustrating, but luckily last weekend we did our strap. So I think we're in good form, but so is the opposition.
The Munster pack has gone quite well, the scrum has gone quite well, but that scrum and pack are going to come up against the kind of the bones of the Irish pack this weekend.
Yeah, you know, that's a challenge, and I think the challenge is for the boys to show it's not something that comes in bits and pieces. It's constant there through the whole season, not just against when we play against French teams and, you know, all different types of different scrumming and different strengths. And this weekend will be the first proper one where we play against, you know, Irish international, who play ahead of our guys currently, the Munster boys. So it will be a great challenge, and afterwards I think it will be a good yardstick to see where we are.
And do you see this weekend as a, I don't want to say a reality check, but you know, is it a good yardstick as to where you are at this early part of the season?
Yes, you know, the goal for the season is to maximise the potential from coaching staff, playing staff, management, to maximise that and then see where we are. You know, we didn't want to sign a lot of players just for the sake of signing and having big expectations and getting a lot of new players in, and we really hasn't gauged what we have internally here. So far, a lot of guys have done really well under pressure. But I guess, you know, you've got potential and you've got skills and you've got work ethic, but then when the pressure's on, how do you handle that from coaching myself and the players? And I guess this weekend will be a real test for that. So, as you say, a good yardstick after this game where we're at.
And just a final question about Peter O'Mahony. How important is it that you have him back, that he's back on the pitch and he's actually playing and involved, whether it's off the bench or otherwise, rather than spending time at the gym rehabbing?
Yeah, I see. I think he must be the most frustrated up until last week for him to get a few minutes here. So all of us were anxious to get him back, but at the same time cautious that you don't do it just a week too early or 2 weeks too early. So now he's back into the mix. You know, now to get him back to form, because he's an intense person, he's a focused person, he's a competitive person. Now to get him back to form, any person who's been off for such a long time is going to take a while to get back to form. But the nice thing about him is, you know, there will never be a lack of effort. We just have to be patient with his form.
Leinster pile over and look to turn this one over. It's really good work by Dominic Ryan. And now back with Owen Redden. Owen Redden for Leinster. Moves it back there towards Zane Kirshner. Out towards Madigan. Sweeps it across now towards Sean O'Brien. Sean O'Brien on the 10-metre line. Leinster out to Gary Ringrose. Over the 10-metre line he goes. And the 22. This is Gary Ringrose inside the 22. Moves it deep to the Tewa. The Tewa for the try. Leinster have peeled Munster apart from inside their own 22-metre line. Here comes Tomás O'Leary, feeds that one in. Around towards the feet now of CJ Stander. Massively solid scrum as O'Leary comes with that one now, moves it back towards Rory Scannell. Rory Scannell upended pretty quickly. Again, that ball's slow to come back, but it's with CJ Stander out for Munster. And Munster now in control of it, 5 yards short of the line. Tomás O'Leary decides to go himself. And he's held up about 4 yards short of the line, straight under the post, and they go forward with that one. It looks as if it was Robin Copeland, in fact, got through. And the referee, I'm not sure if he's actually awarded the try or otherwise. He's going for the television match official, but Robin Copeland is happy that he's got the try.
Sorry, there is a question now. Is there a Leinster hand under the ball? He did get it over the line. He was entitled to make that movement. But did he actually ground the ball? There is a Leinster hand underneath it, and it's Owen Redden. And if he's managed to get his fingers under this, he's done an unbelievable job, and I think he has, you know.
Well, a home crowd want one decision, but that's not the one that counts. The referee, in fact, has given the try. That's a rather controversial one, to be fair about it.
It certainly is. I don't know what role the crowd played in that, but to be fair to David Wilkinson, he looked at it. But look, the TMO and the referee, they've spoken about it. The try is awarded, and given the dominance that Leinster have had and played with the wind. It's really brought Munster back into this game.
Back at Madigan with the crossfield kick. It looked as if Eason Atewa was well ahead of him. Eason Atewa now goes charging forward with that one. Stopped about 2 yards short of the line. Leinster need a recycle and need a recycle pretty quickly. Across on that far side to gather it and then go charging forward with it. It's with that Tom Denton as he leans forward with that one. Fergus McFadden screaming for the ball on the near side of the pitch, but Leinster decided to keep it amongst the forwards there on the far side. Munster now under massive, massive pressure as Leinster pile forward across on the far side of the pitch now. Leinster within about a foot of the Munster line across far side. Another rumble by Leinster as they look to come forward with that. A Munster body, it seemed, underneath the ball. The referee's whistle has gone. He's going to go to the television match official, but I suspect it could very well be a 5 metre scrum for Leinster. Well, I mean, from the angles we've seen on the television here, it's not conclusive, to be fair. However, Simon McDowell, it is the season to be jolly, and it's a try.
Yeah, I think I would agree with the call on this occasion, because I think McGrath, he was held up short. He's entitled to make the movement. When you see it in slow motion, it looks, you know, as if there's too much of a delay. But in real time, he did really well, because he is entitled to make that lunge for the line. And if Copeland's try was given in the first half, then McGrath's one definitely deserved to be given. I think there's less suspicion around the McGrath one than there was around the Copeland one.
Here comes Madigan with the kick, and that one has gone straight between the post and it's Leinster with their foot on the throat of Munster in Thomond Park. Niall Scanlon with the line-out throw taken by Donica Ryan. And now it's gone infield. Here comes Sahili, and it's intercepted. There's a chance here now as Leinster go charging with St. Kirchner over the 10-metre line. The 22 racing on a post inside the 22, and he's touched it down under the post, and that is certainly it from a Leinster point of view. St. Kirchner with the breakaway try right at the death of this game.
Well, that's the nail in the coffin, and it silenced the Munster crowd here. Zane Kirchner from in deep inside in his own half just read the pass. I think it was Francis Sahili, the one, and he was never going to be caught. Lucas Amorosino gave up halfway. To be fair to Simon Zeebo, he kept going, chased him down to the end, and that really cements this victory for Leinster.
Ian Madigan's conversion straight between the posts into the wind. The referee has blown the full-time whistle, and it is Leinster who have outscored Munster by 3-1, and an absolutely deserved victory for the team in blue here at Thomond Park this evening. 24-7.
That's all we have time for on The Breakdown, the first of the new RTE Rugby podcasts. Join us next week when we'll have reaction to those Pro 12 games, and we look ahead to the start of another European adventure. For me, Michael Corcoran, and producer Andrew O'Connor, thanks for listening.